top headlines.
Bruins host the Hurricanes tonight. The Bees have announced that Patrice Bergeron will be out 2 weeks with a fractured right foot. He'll be reevaluated at that point. Riley Nash will reportedly fill in for Bergeron on the top line. And newly acquired Tommy Wingles will center the third line with David Backes and Danton Heinen. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30. Patriots news, Tom Curran reported on Boston Sports Tonight last night that Rob Gronkowski did not enjoy himself this past season in Foxborough. Curran said the atmosphere, physically and mentally, starting to wear on Gronk. Curran also reported that Gronkowski contemplated stepping away from the game in training camp. Other NFL news, Calvin Watkins of Newsday reporting that the Jets will look into Malcolm Butler in free agency. Ian Rappaport reporting that Teddy Bridgewater is expected to be a free agent. And the Bills reached an agreement on a one-year deal with Vontae Davis. Celtics beat the Grizzlies at the Garden last night, 109-98. Kyrie Irving led the team in scoring with 25 points in 25 minutes. Here was Brad Stevens last night on Greg Monroe, who was a DNP against Memphis.
We've got good players that are there with him, and there'll be nights that are his and nights that aren't. And it's just part of being part of a good team, but I appreciate his approach a great deal, and I think he's really going to help us.
Celtics host Charlotte tomorrow night. Finally, Red Sox Cardinals today in Fort Myers just getting underway. Headlines are brought to you by the MassachusettsCosmetic.com. offering a huge New Year's special on testosterone replacement therapy and Gaines Wave treatments. 877-577-5476. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up, 1:30.
98.5, the Sports Hub gets you up.
Hello, Mr. Danny.
Good morning.
I'm not telling you anything you didn't know.
Gets you home.
They don't have a dominating personality.
Not the The team thinks he's going to be special.
Toucher and Rich.
Felger and Mad.
98.5,
the Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Somebody's going on vacation tomorrow.
I love this song, by the way.
That's from your stuttering song folder there, Jim.
A lot more than we thought.
You clicked on the wrong folder there. You went for the
I still
black
had Ebony
and white
Ivory
folder.
Playing from before.
Yeah. Michael Jackson in there, too. Get that one in. 617-779-0985. We do have open phone lines for you. You want to grab one? Be our guest, 617-779-0985. Start of the day talking about Rob Gronkowski and the possibility of Rob Gronkowski choosing to retire. This on the heels of the report that we heard from last night. That was Tommy Curran, Comcast Sportsnet, NBC Sports boss, and I'm still screwing that up, Hardy. I'm still screwing.
No, it's fine. Everybody knows.
And you
knows
there.
What you're talking about.
So we've got that in the mix. We've got a bunch of other football, small football items that I think we should get to.
Okay.
Just a bunch of little things that I find interesting, but really
let's bang
not
them all out.
Worthy of like an entire segment.
No.
How about this headline from Pro Football Talk yesterday?
Yep.
Half of the league spent above the salary cap in 2017.
Oh.
Well then.
Is the cap real or is the cap?
As he wrote, Mike Florio said, far more important than the annual salary cap is the actual cash spent each year by every team. Last year, with the cap at $167 million, half of the teams spent more than the cap, and another half of the teams were under it. Per a source with knowledge of the situation, teams collectively spent $5.274 billion in 2017, an average of 98.69% of the total cap. The highest spenders were the Lions, at 204.46.
It's just an automatic chuckle.
It's like a knife in your heart.
All you have to do is say Lions, and people are just automatically going to start giggling. All right. What? They're a 9-7. Going to be a good team. What? Next.
Okay, next. At the other end, the Cowboys, who spent only 115.65. That's only 69.26% of the cap. The difference between the cash and the cap comes from prorated bonuses that are paid out in the past year, or prorated bonuses paid out in the current year. Here's the full list. The Lions are number one. The Cowboys are number 32. And the New England Patriots come in at $168.97 million. Where do you think that puts them in the league?
Like right there in the middle.
14th.
Yeah. Yeah, and they spent like what? Like I saw the percentage, so I'm cheating. It was like 101.8.
101.18.
Okay. All right, so the Patriots are doing it at least last season, the way kind of it's supposed to be done. But if a team can spend that much above the cap, if so many teams can spend, you know, such a high percentage over the cap, is the cap in fact crap?
That headline would seem to indicate the cap is crap.
Seems like it is.
Yep.
Just prorate bonuses and give guys a bunch of money that is not on the books, that doesn't count against the cap.
You can't abuse it, though, for like years on end. You can't abuse it. Like, it does catch up to you at some point.
But if you can
abuse
it.
You can't do it for 10 years in a row.
But can you do it for three?
Yep.
Then it's crap.
Yes.
Then there's no salary cap.
Yes, it is a very soft cap in the NFL.
Yes.
Browns are carrying over like $50 million from last year's cap to this year's cap.
Yep. Speaking of caps, remember the uncapped year with Jerry Jones and how he didn't fight the league on that?
Oh, yeah.
He should have, but now Jerry Jones fought the league after being pissed off about the thing that happened with Ezekiel Elliott. He's not being fined by the NFL, as it was originally reported by the New York Times. He's being required to pay $2 million in a reimbursement for legal fees that the league incurred due to him, I guess, fighting back against the league. It's not a fine. For conduct detrimental. It's a reimbursement. Millions of dollars declaring that his conduct was detrimental, and therefore they have a right to recoup their fees. He will be required to pay those fees because of the threat of litigations that Jones made in connection with Goodell's contract extension and in connection with the NFL's defense of the decision to suspend Zeke Elliott. That means the league is deciding, Hardy, that Jones and his ownership group, his son, whoever, had so much yank over whether or not Zeke Elliott was appealing that they're blaming them for the appeal and making them pay for the legal fees.
Right.
Does that seem like a stretch? Like, would that be unfair if the league turned around and said, Robert Kraft, Tom Brady appealed and you should have to pay for us to have to defend it? What?
Yeah. It's crazy, though, when you look at the way these owners will turn on themselves in an instant, and whether it's Robert Kraft, the way everybody rallied against him, and didn't it seem like Jerry Jones was like leading the charge on a lot of that stuff?
Yeah.
Now it's like, now they're all going to turn on him. It's a very tight-knit group, and you'd think these guys would be in lockstep on most things, but if you run afoul of, I think, of business as usual and upsetting the apple cart, to, you know, of their $9 billion apple cart, then there's no love lost between these guys. They will go after each other.
They will. If it makes them look better, they certainly will. We know Jerry Jones. How do you think he was feeling when he found this out? He's one of the most prideful guys, right? He's, like you said, he was leading the charge, Hardy, last year for himself and Ezekiel Elliott saying, no. He flipped the script, 180. When Kraft was bitching about Deflategate, Jones was out in front saying, oh, just, you know, take your medicine pretty much.
Right.
And now over the last year, he's been battling Goodell. Not only did he lose, he lost the player for six games. And now on top of that, Goodell's like, oh, yeah. And by the way, Jerry, pay us $2 million. I'm sure Jerry Jones was ecstatic about that.
And I don't know if it hurts his ego in some sick way. It might actually feed his ego a little bit. So now he can truly be seen as like a lone gunman out there. And he is kind of above everything else. And look. He's got the biggest stadium. He's the GM. Talks to the press more than any owner that I can think of. You know, see, at least on the surface, has more to do with the day-to-day operations of the football team than other owners. At least he presents himself that way. So if this further differentiates him from other owners in some weird way, he might actually enjoy it. But he won't enjoy it if he's actually got to write a check for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real money.
What choice does he have? Not pay it?
Who knows anymore? Can you appeal it for years on end like anything else in the NFL?
You might. By the way, these lawyers must be killing it.
Oh, they love it. They love the NFL. Are you kidding me?
How many billable hours do the lawyers that are retained
by
the teams?
I do a lot of work with the NFL and the teams.
Oh, what a job. What a job. The work never ends.
Great gig.
The work never ends. Oh, what a gig. But I don't think he's got much of a choice.
No.
Because they've already floated, and I think it's far-fetched. But someone has already floated the idea of trying to strip Jerry Jones of his franchise. And I just think it's a general rule of thumb that when you are an owner in one of these leagues, professional leagues in this country, you don't mess with the group. You don't. You mess with the group, you're out. And if you piss them off or you make them look bad, they'll get you out. They'll find a way to get you out. Look at the Clippers situation, the way that played out in the NBA. They didn't want the guy around anymore. You know what he did? He wised up and said, I'm going to sell this.
Yeah, Richardson in the
NFL.
Look
at Jerry Richardson with the Carolina Panthers right now.
That was quick.
You know what? This isn't worth my fight because if these guys want me gone, I'll end up gone. So I might as well sell the team, take my cash, and I'll be on my way.
And Beatle, isn't that why Robert Kraft didn't go too far? Like, a lot of people wanted Kraft to do more against the league, to attack Goodell more with the Deflategate, but I think this goes in a line what you're talking about. If you go too far, if you cross that line, you are in danger, no matter how powerful you are. Jerry Jones, like Hardy said, one of the most powerful owners in that league, it didn't matter. You went against the group, you were screwed.
I believe the Patriots have reestablished themselves in the upper ranks of NFL owners in the hierarchy in the league. Do you think Roger Goodell decided to come up with this on his own?
Probably
you think
not.
He was sitting in his office and said, you know what? I think I'm going to go after the legal fees from Jerry. No. Trust me. There are other owners in that league.
Had a few people sign off on that
before he did it. What was Jerry saying during Deflategate? I think we have to go back and rewind the tape, Jim. And Roger Goodell was doing a great job. Isn't that what he said at the time?
Fantastic. Best commissioner ever.
Guess what, Jerry? You were out for my guy. We're going to be out for you. And I guarantee you that there are other owners, lesser owners, that don't have the same profile or don't have the same yank that Jerry Jones has had in his Hall of Fame ownership career.
It's got to be a pretty sobering.
That have enjoyed the opportunity over the last few months to not only go into the meeting room with the other owners and take shots at the guy and try and put him down and float the idea that they would strip his franchise from him. But nope, now we're going to hit you in the wallet too. Here's $2 million. Pay up now. And if you don't, well, we don't want you in the group anymore.
Extra kick in the nuts. It's going to be a very sobering last year for Jones. The guy who thought, remember the story that came out, I think it was ESPN, He pretty much walked into the room of owners and was like, no, I'm the guy here. I'm King Kong. And now look at him.
Not anymore, Jerry. That's unfortunate. Chris Gasper spoke with the father of Tom Brady. That would be Tom Brady Sr. We'll tell you what he said coming back right after this on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the sports app.
Some trivia on this song.
Whoa.
When they first cut Sussudio, it sounded so much like Prince 1999 that they had to go back in and redo it.
Really?
Really?
They finished the song, they were listening to it, and a label rep said, well, I understand where the inspiration for the song came from, guys, but you can't put this out.
I need a comparison now.
It doesn't sound like it anymore.
But still, you can hear it.
But it still has like an inkling of it. You can kind of feel it, actually, when you think about
it. Tempo, kind of the same.
I want to say, I think like Rolling Stone named this the worst song ever.
Really?
Yeah, I think this.
That's pretty strong. The worst song ever?
Yeah, I think it was like worst song of, you know, modern pop music.
I have three that I would immediately put up before that. Alanis Morissette, Ironic.
Oh, isn't it ironic?
Because it doesn't really describe ironic situations.
No.
It's more like just crappy situations.
Yes. It has nothing to do with irony. I would put Four Non Blondes' What's Going On. The one that goes, hey, yay, yay.
Oh, yeah, that song does.
What's going on?
Total Eclipse of the Heart makes a lot of worst of lists, but absolutely the worst one has got to be Starship, We Built This City. That is an absolute putrid song.
Oh, there's a
Sue.
You yes, absolutely. And that's the tweaked version.
Is this a mashup? Jim's got a mashup here for us. Okay. So far, it just sounds like Sussudio.
No, we want them mashed up.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely. And again, that's the one that's tweaked. Imagine what the original sound like. Definitely.
Yeah, don't do that, because then we're not going to tell you to stop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
When did you hear that, Hardy? Is that like a recent factoid that you learned? Or is this like...
God, when did, not long after it came out, I think. I mean, it was a long time ago.
I would have never thought of it, but listening back to it, it's...
They're really close.
Yeah, they are. They're really close.
Right. I don't know what it's the keyboard, it's the bass line, it's something, but... Same song. Damn near the same song.
Yeah, damn near.
And that's
near
after they
song.
Changed it.
Except for a few tweaks. Father of Tom Brady spoke to Chris Gasper, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Don't know if you saw this. Talk Super Bowl 52. Saying that Tom Brady, this is his dad now. This is his dad talking to Gasper's in tight with these Bradys.
He always gets senior.
You should see it. I think they were at a game earlier this year. And I'm with Chris, and Chris, of course, sees Tom Brady's dad and his mom, and he's over there shaking hands and talking to the whole family. Man, he's in there, man. He's in there tight with the Brady camp. So Tom Brady's dad talks to Gasper, and he says that Tom, you know, New England Patriot Tom, was nearly catatonic this time after the game. He got out of there pretty fast. He will never get over the Giants' losses, and I don't think he'll ever get over this Eagles' loss either. Brady's father also commented on the Malcolm Butler benching, stating that he doesn't believe Bill Belichick would ever make any decision except for the decision that is best for the Patriots. I don't have any questions about Belichick's loyalty to the Patriots and the desire to win the game. It's the only way I could look at it. I don't think he would do anything less. It doesn't serve his purpose to do anything less than try to go all out and win. I think Belichick has the best interests of the team at heart. I don't know that he would hold a grudge, one that would needlessly cost the Patriots a Super Bowl. It just doesn't make sense. I find this a very, very interesting comment. Because on one hand, he's saying, no, it's a football decision. But then in the second part, he says he wouldn't needlessly cost the Patriots a Super Bowl. Does that indicate that he believes it cost the Patriots a Super Bowl? Like, that's my question in reading it. I wonder.
It doesn't make sense. You can't lay out... Okay, he doesn't have to have an answer to write about it. I understand. But if you're going to lay out everything, which I agree with, I don't think it would needlessly cost the team the Super Bowl either. But it doesn't make sense still, so it's time to start making some sense of it. It's been almost a month.
It has been almost a month.
Right?
It's crazy.
It's been a month.
Crazy.
Almost a month since Malcolm Butler got sat for the Super Bowl. And we still don't know why.
And people are still talking, and I'm not talking about people like us, but players. Players are getting asked, and they're answering these questions. No one is really trying to put this away. Like, you know, McCourty answered a couple of questions last week. It's... The players continue to address this, which is very unpatriot-like. It certainly would seem like they want to express that they got no explanation. They don't want to take any blame, and they want us to know that they don't get it either. And they're not coming out and saying that and like killing Belichick, but they're answering the questions when they could easily dodge them. They could easily say no thanks. Brady Sr. could say, well, you know, that's Belichick's decision. I don't think he would do anything to hurt the team, and then move on. But... It's like everybody wants to talk about this, including players and players' parents, apparently.
Or maybe they're not wanting to talk about it, but they're not afraid to answer
it. They're open. Yeah, they're open to talk about it.
So when it comes to...
That's a better point.
Devin McCourty, right? Like, Devin McCourty has been asked multiple times. Has he shied away from it? He did a little bit after the game. After the game, he did not want to touch it. The night of. Since then, he answered and said, we all knew he wasn't going to start. And then clarified a few days later and said, well, hold on. I want to make sure you know. We didn't know he was going to start. We knew that he wasn't going to start, but we didn't know that he was going to not play at all. Do you think those comments have gone over well at One Patriot Place with the head coach of the team? Do you think he would rather Devin McGordy be quiet and not talk about it and say, hey, that had nothing to do with it, best interest of the team, coaching decision, that's not my thing, ask coach, blah, blah, blah? Or would you rather him say that? I mean, we all love it when they talk and they say, and they give you an honest answer.
If he had his druthers,
yeah,
he'd probably go with the former.
Really? Yeah. Well, no, yeah, yeah, he would. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you're right, if he had his druthers.
It's going to be a very... We started the show talking about Gronk and the history with him and what they're going to do this offseason. Very challenging offseason for Belichick. Because this is different, right? You have a lot of things written about the tension. A lot of stories leaked this year, which is completely different than usual modus operandi in Foxborough. You've got the Gronk question. There's a lot of things that they have to take care of. Is the Brady relationship completely repaired? Very challenging on a lot of levels for Belichick.
Yeah. And it's
and they need a hell of a clearing of the air, according to Tommy Curran last
right.
night.
Which doesn't feel like a clearing of the air type of environment to begin with. I don't think they do a lot of air clearing down there. I think the air is what it is. You can either breathe it or get the hell out. That's how it's going to be down here. And it kind of ties
they
together.
Create a safe space where everyone can exchange their ideas?
A trust tree?
And, yeah.
Yeah. We're in a safe room here tree. Where we can just all talk about how we really feel? No. And if there's any truth, if there's any weight or any credibility to what the guy from the Eagles said about there being a lack of fun being had there, who's the guy who likes to have the most fun on the Patriots? If you had to pick a player, who's the guy who enjoys his fun?
Oh, I think Gronk. Rob Gronkowski would be the guy.
It kind of all fits together. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenging offseason. You've got people speaking ill of the Patriot way. You've got one of your top three most important players on that team got everybody talking like he doesn't want to play football anymore. And you also have to answer for a very, very puzzling decision in the Super Bowl that many people feel at the very least cost you a stop, could have cost you a stop at some point in the game, and all you needed was one stop to get back in that game and have it be something other than a Hail Mary that would have necessitated a two-point conversion to tie the damn thing. I mean, you stop them one time, and it's a different ball game there in that
one play.
Possession.
One play could have made the difference in that game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Challenging offseason.
Challenging
offseason.
And you know what? That doesn't even factor in what's the typical offseason, which is evaluating which free agents you want to try and keep or which guys you're going to let walk. And that includes Deion Lewis, who spoke on a podcast and, gave an answer and some insight into his future with the Patriots. We have that audio. We'll play it for you coming up after these headlines with Nick.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins host the Hurricanes tonight. The Bees announced earlier today that Patrice Bergeron will be out 2 weeks with a fractured right foot. He'll be reevaluated at that point. Riley Nash will fill in for Bergeron on the top line. Newly acquired Tommy Wingles will center the third line with David Backes and Danton Heinen. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30. Patriots news, Tom Curran reported on Boston Sports Tonight last night that Rob Gronkowski did not enjoy himself this past season. Curran said that the atmosphere is physically and mentally starting to wear on Gronk. Curran also reported that Gronkowski contemplating stepping away from the game in training camp. Celtics beat the Grizzlies. Garden last night, 109-98. They are still a half game behind the Raptors in the East. Toronto throttled the Pistons last night. Seas host the Hornets tomorrow night. Finally, Red Sox playing the Cardinals right now down in Florida. It is scoreless in the bottom of the first. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters and Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield. Where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headline's coming up at 2 o'clock.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild, and the unexpected.
How's his butt look?
Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Same song.
It's pretty much the same. You hear it now. Yeah. You're like, no, no, they're way different. You know, put them together and you're like, oh, they're the same song.
Wow.
And they tweaked it. Like, that's what I can't get over. Like, that's the tweaked version.
Tweak.
Yeah, that's like after you've been told.
Yeah, and I think they added the horns afterward to try and make it, you know, different composition-wise, just something to change it. That's I know it's a ripoff. It's such a good song, though. We gotta keep most of it.
It's so good. It's worth it.
Yeah,
Susudio, so good. It's just so good.
How do we not?
How did those guys think that was a great song? Oh, all right. Well, back at it here. Deion Lewis, he's a free agent. He went from being buried on the depth chart to being the starting running back on the Patriots this past season. So he had an interesting year. He was a weekly guest on this show, or a semi, like every other week or so. But here he is. This is on with Schefter. Is that who you said?
Schefter's podcast.
Adam Schefter doing a podcast with Deion Lewis. Here it is.
Is there any chance you're going to be back in New England, Deion?
Just love the way he phrases that. Is there any chance you come back?
Well, any shot in hell, Deion.
Like that's already telling you something there. Because even if... Listen, Schefter knows things. Schefter's plugged in, and his assumption is Deion Lewis is not back. What do we got? More.
Is there any chance you're going to be back in New England, Deion?
We'll see. You know, it's a business. You know, I love it here. You know, I've grown a great relationship in this area. Past 3 years have been great. I'm close to home, and some. Well, I mean, New York, 2.5 hours, so I'm real close to my family, so all those things are perfect. But, you know, at the same time, it's a business, and hopefully it'll work out. But, you know, at the same time, you can't always think that way. You got to take care of yourself and your family at the same time. I think it'll work out. I hope it could work out. But at the same time, you know, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. You know, I know how the team like to handle their business. And, you know, as a running back, you got to make the most of your opportunity and improve from what I did this past year. So, my main thing is just, you know, making sure that I'm valued. That's my biggest thing. Make sure that I'm valued the way I value myself, and that would be the biggest thing for me.
It's the Patriots' quote unquote value system versus Deion's value.
I thought the most meaningful comment was towards the end there when he said, "I know how they take care of their business," or "I know how they do their business." He sounds like a guy who wants to get the most possible money. And I don't blame him for that. Good for
you. And also sounds like a guy who, when he says, "I know how they handle their business," meaning they don't care about running backs around here. Just take a look and see what they've done over the years.
Yeah.
I know how the team likes to handle their business.
I know how the team likes to handle their business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I were advising him, I'd tell him, hey, whoever offers you the most guaranteed money, that's where you're going. You don't get too many cracks at this, and you're a guy that's already dealt with a lot of setbacks in your career due to serious injuries.
Right.
Whoever offers you the most guaranteed money, that's where you should go play. Pretty simple.
Yep.
Unless, of course, the difference is, you know, if the difference is within 5 or 10%, maybe you reconsider because of other factors.
Right. If it's negligible,
but,
you say,
yeah,
all right.
If it's not a major gap, you say, okay, you know what? I know that there's a little bit more guaranteed money elsewhere, but I also know that I'm going to be much happier and much more productive in this situation. Then you do that. But if someone's blowing you away, then you go there. And I think he will. I think he will. Nick, you think someone gets stupid for Deion Lewis this offseason?
Yes.
I think so, too. I think he's gone.
I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit goes out there and tries to grab him.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want the Patriots getting stupid for Deion Lewis.
No. I mean, I appreciate what he's done, but
absolutely,
he's had so many injuries. And I've always believed the running back position, aside from like two or three special guys, you could usually find a running back, right? Whether it's in the middle rounds, and this draft is very deep. And I'd like to see the Patriots get younger at running back. They haven't used a draft pick on running back since James White, I believe, and before then it was a long stretch.
They haven't done the Ridley-Vereen route recently.
Yeah.
Right? They need another one of those.
The unfortunate part for them is it's all relative, right? They got to the Super Bowl this year. But when you look across this team's roster, there are a number of holes, especially for depth purposes, they're going to need to fill. So this might not be the perfect year for them to take a swing twice at a running back, but I wouldn't hate them getting younger. I mean, they went Gillislee route and the Burkhead route, and they put a lot of stuff into Deion Lewis, and it worked because he stayed healthy. I would not walk into this next season with White and Lewis as my top two backs.
See, that doesn't bother me, because every time I get convinced they can't win without a certain running back, they move on from them, and they do just fine. I mean, obviously, LeGarrette Blount is an interesting example because he was part of the team that beat you in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, is he the reason why they ended up losing the Super Bowl? Because he was playing for the Eagles and not for the Patriots?
No.
And
nope.
I mean, you can cite more ridiculous examples of Jonas Gray, or you can go as close as LeGarrette Blount. I think they figure out things at running back, and I think Deion Lewis understands that. And is the only thing I'll say about Deion Lewis, I think he's more versatile than a lot of these other guys, and I'm sure they haven't overlooked that. I gravitate toward the same thing. No, you got to have Deion Lewis. You got to do whatever you can to keep Deion Lewis. I'm sure they don't feel that way.
I would love to see if they're going to invest in that position multiple times this offseason, because you could argue, right, guys, that Brady's 41. We know he was an MVP this last year. But do the Patriots look at this and say, okay, every year that we get from Brady like that, we're stealing a year. And maybe we need a backup plan. And the backup plan could be a dynamite running back that we can find through the draft. And so we can run the football more and try to scale back Brady a little bit. I don't think that'll happen unless he shows decline in the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. But I do wonder, you've got to figure out your roster during the offseason. So is that part of the thinking for Belichick? Has to be. Even if he doesn't pull the trigger, it's got to be in his mind.
Yeah, I also just don't think the position has been a priority, and I don't think it will be this offseason. And I don't think they're looking at this going, oh, no, what are we going to do at running back? Oh, Deion Lewis, what are we going to do?
I don't think they ever say that.
No.
They just, it's not a position that they stress out over.
But it's linked with Brady, right? You can usually get away with that because you've got Brady.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Awaken 180 Weight Loss Takeaway. Take away your excess weight for life and visit awaken180weightloss.com. Nick, I defer to you.
All right, so Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network was on a DC sports station with Chad Dukes, and things kind of fell apart.
Ian Rappaport is my guest. I'm Chad Dukes, First Report, NFL Network, of course. They'll provide exclusive.
I'm sorry. I need to take this phone call. I apologize.
That is the last time we have that son of a bitch on this show. I swear to God. What a piece of garbage that guy is. That's twice he's done that. That's twice. And he sucked. And he sucked. He had absolutely no... God, I hate that guy. Here's the context. I'm not just trashing this guy for no reason. That guy agreed to do an interview earlier today and came in early. Whatever. I don't care. He's a big name. That's fine. And he was that energy level, and he was that disengaged. And also, by the way, I don't know if you listen, that kind of condescending. And he, in the middle of the interview, I've been doing radio interviews for 15 years now. In the middle of the interview said, I've got to put the phone down. Put the phone down for 4 minutes. Never picked it back up. Just a complete and total disrespectful
laying into Rappaport.
Yeah, you know what? You know what I'd say to Chad? Chad, you're right, which is why you shouldn't have had him on in the first place.
Right?
Just don't waste your time with him. Don't waste your time with Ian freaking Rappaport.
But you listen to that. I listened to it. That went on for
10 plus minutes.
I think it was 10 minutes.
It's like a whole segment out of it.
I think it was like 20 minutes.
Oh, it was long.
So wow. We cut it short.
Yeah, the clip that I heard went on for 10 minutes. I didn't listen to all of it because it's just...
Called him a lot of names.
Yeah, he did. And then he tries to, you know, get after him on Twitter, and Rappaport is like, I'm sorry. You know, I was working on a story. I had to take that call. I'm sorry. So, yeah, it was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. It was kind of rude. But Rappaport didn't get into a back and forth with him at all. He just
wisely said,
I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I won't be on again.
Chad, don't have him on.
Sorry.
Don't have him on. Your instinct was right. He sucks. to have on as a guest. His energy is not there. He's not a good radio guest. I'm not. That's not an indictment of his reporting.
Right.
Do you think Maz? He's not a good radio guest.
Think Maz is ready to get into his chair?
You know, he used to have him on all the time. Yeah, he used to suck.
He's almost like picking you up out of the chair.
Da, when he was here, when he was in Boston, he used to put him on all the time.
Used to put on rap report.
And it was like always the same thing.
The problem I have with
don't
it,
have him on.
The biggest problem is, as he went, like you said, Hardy, the rant went on for like, I don't know, 15 minutes. Like later on in the rant, I don't know, I don't think we played it there, but he pretty much says that Rappaport gets a lot wrong. And so, all right, then why do you have him on as a guest?
Irrelevant, though.
But why do you have him on as a guest? If you think he's wrong a lot, then if you think his credibility is shot, then why is he a guest?
He sucks. He gets everything. Well, why did you have him on in the first place?
Coming up next, a guy who's going to be completely wrong.
Right.
Awesome.
Don't have him on. Now he knows better. Now he won't have that guy on anymore. He's not worth it. Not worth it. Well, we have Dan Shaughnessy on. Is Shaughnessy off the charts?
No.
Now energy? No. But he
asked some odd questions about segments on the show. One of them had to do with when we played the Doobie Brothers today. Yeah. It was odd.
Does anyone know the names of any of the Doobie Brothers?
John Doobie.
Isn't the guy Michael
McDonald?
Thank you. Yeah.
He's a Doobie Brother.
Yeah. All right, that was good, Beatle, for a young guy. Were there any African Americans in the Doobie Brothers? No, I'm serious.
It's like, I don't know any black guys named Don, because you said that once on this show, and we really put you to shame.
We were really embarrassed, inundated with Don Lemons and everybody.
Here's where it goes poorly for Dan Shaughnessy.
I've
never known a black guy to use the word Doobie.
Hold on.
Refer to him as joints.
According to this picture on Wikipedia of the Doobie Brothers, there is one African American in the band.
So they are not related.
Doobie Brothers appeared in an episode of What's Happening.
The only problem...
Which is...
So the only problem with this, you bring up the Doobie Brothers. The song that we just heard is not by the Doobie Brothers.
What?
It's one of Zoe's favorites. It's by Bachman Turner Overdrive.
That's Bachman Turner
Overdrive? That's BTO, right? Thank you, Jim.
Spent my whole life thinking that was the Doobies.
No, wrong.
Bachman Turner Overdrive is responsible for one of the worst songs ever.
Taking care of business. Elvis Presley's whole life was dictated by that song.
Ever offered up.
Wait, what?
To the world. Taking care of business?
TCB.
Yeah, it's...
Elvis had pendants made up with TCB on them.
He didn't...
He gave them out to all the guys.
Yeah, but they didn't invent that.
Joey Esposito.
Who the hell's Joey Esposito?
I have no idea. I don't know.
You know, Joey Esposito.
Probably a member of...
Friend of Elvis? Elvis's,
yeah.
Guy on the block from Elvis back in the day.
What was the name of his group? Were they the Memphis Mafia? Was that Elvis's group? Where's Graceland? In Memphis, right? I think the Memphis Mafia was Elvis's group of guys.
Okay. Well, here's another gem from Dan Shaughnessy on the music front today. That was when we played, during Dan's dates, a song that made its debut on this date. And it took Dan literally half a second to come up with the name of this song.
Should we play a game of Name That Tune for
Doobie Brothers?
No? Mm-hmm. This song was released in 1981, did you say, Jim?
It's a little after my time. Ebony and Ivory?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pull that out. It took like one bar.
I knew the answer, and I wasn't sure Jim was playing the right song. I couldn't get it as fast, and I had the answer.
Yeah, I knew it. And there's some trivia about this, because Paul McCartney has made the top 10 chart, whatever, as a solo artist, as a duo, and you're listening to this, as a trio, as a quartet, that might have been the Beatles, and as a five-member band.
What, Wings?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, I guess. But the trio, I'm not sure which one that would be. But yeah, Paul has done it all. Do you get the metaphor there, the keys, ivory and ebony?
I don't know.
Black and white?
What do you mean?
This little metaphor there.
I see the world in shades of gray.
It's a harmony.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You get black and white together on the keyboard.
It's a
sitting
piano.
Sitting at the keyboard.
Yeah.
A black guy, a white guy.
Oh! It was like having Zoe back for a minute.
You get it? Ebony and ivory?
You get it?
Paul McCartney is a white.
Thank you, Zoe.
He's a white.
He's the ivory.
Okay.
Connecting the dots for us, Dan. Thanks. Thank you.
Oh, I already moved.
I did move. I had to move out of my chair because Maz came in here and started setting up for his program while I was still sitting in the chair. I didn't know that.
Typical.
I know that Beatles required to move out of Felger's chair before the show starts.
Switch seats before the final segment every day. For those at home who don't know that.
Does Zoe always move out of your chair ahead of time, Maz?
Get out of my seat, bitch!
Okay. That doesn't answer the question. I mean, I've sit here every day.
No, Zoe's very impolite. I thought you were...
Impolite by staying in the seat for the 4 hours of the show.
Staying in the chair while his show is still on the air?
Yeah. Gotta get ready for 2 o'clock, babe.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what happens every day when we walk in for our show. We tell TNR to move. You know,
switch right.
Seats. Switch Fred, seats. I want to sit there.
Fred sits somewhere else, doesn't he?
He sits where I'm sitting now. And Rich is sitting in my chair.
Rich sits there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just wait until their show's over.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Midday show, once again, suckling hind teat. That's all right.
That's what we got to do.
I like our position as underdogs.
You don't know.
What's he singing?
I don't know. I have to go run. I have to go.
Singing Ebony and Ivory.
I have to go catch the off-air show of the worst live read in history.
That was a good one.
Beatle was telling me about it. I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to go watch it.
Go check that out.
I've been sitting here for the last 15 minutes just cursing that we were still on the air because I want to watch that more than anything.
Felger Mass Facebook page. Go check that out.
I will.
They are coming up next. We're back at 10.